the joy of abiding in Christ. Friends, have you ever considered what you truly need for this month? What you truly need for this week? What you truly need for today? And what you truly need at this very hour? Or perhaps, what you truly need for all life? If we open God's Word, ano po bang sasabihin ng tunay nating pangangailangan? The grace of God is that the revealed truth of God does not change to speak about our true need, not just for this month, not just for this week, not just for this very hour, but for all life. And that brings us to John chapter 15. Now, starting in John chapter 1, after John the Beloved, who wrote this, unpacked the divinity of who Christ is, Jesus promised that those who followed him will see greater things. And true enough, John chapter 2, we see how Jesus turned water into wine. Jesus cleansed the temple in declaring to destroy the temple, and he will raise it up in 3 days. John chapter 3, we see how Jesus met Nicodemus, a high-profile Pharisee, and discuss about the new birth or the doctrine of regeneration. Chapter 4, we see how the Samaritan woman met the living water that gives eternal life. Continuing, we see how Jesus healed an official's son and a lame person at the pool on Sabbath. And in John chapter 6, we see how Jesus miraculously fed the 5,000 and also declared himself, or who he is, that he is the I Am. Then in John chapter 13, this is the start of what we usually call the farewell discourse before Jesus, in moments before his trial, his suffering, and his death on the cross, where we see that Jesus served his disciples by washing the feet of these men like a bondservant. Judas was there. And in John 14, Jesus reminded the disciples that their hearts must not be troubled, even if he's going to leave them. Instead, Jesus urges the disciples, believe in God, believe in me as well, so that your hearts will have this ballast to remain. And he promised also in John 14 that there's the coming of the Holy Spirit that will be their helper when Christ leaves the earth. From John chapter 1 to 14, John, the author, reveals for us that apart from the supernatural work of God in us, we will never believe in Jesus as the Son of God, as our all-satisfying, sufficient joy and treasure. Yet, in his grace and mercy, he is able to rescue us, forgive us, and adopt us as his very own. And he continues to give himself to us so that our joy may be complete. Crossroads, in our time together, as we look at verses 1 to 11 of John 15, I have just one main truth I'd like to advance in our time together. The all-satisfying joy of Christ empowers every Christian to abide in him. The all-satisfying joy of Christ empowers every Christian to abide in him. And we're going to see three powerful truths that explains the joy of abiding in Christ. We're going to see in verses 1 to 3 the reason of abiding in Christ. We're going to see in verses 4 to 10 the responsibility of abiding in Christ. And we're going to see in verse 11 the root of abiding in Christ. The reason, responsibility, and the root. So let's start. Let's take a look at verses 1 to 3 where we're going to see the reason of abiding in Christ. John 15 is the heart of this farewell discourse. Two things we see in verses 1 to 3. We're going to see that the last I am statement, capital I and I am, is his statement so that we may understand who Jesus is. At the same time, we're going to see here the beauty of the doctrine of our union with Christ, which covers the reason why our abiding in Christ is so sweet. So take a look at verse 1. I'm going to read from the English Standard Version. So join me as we dissect God's word together. Look at verse 1. I am the true vine. The word I am here is the very embodiment of who Yahweh is, the covenant-keeping God. He means that he is distinct, far beyond what we can imagine, and he's none like us. In the earlier chapters, we've seen that Jesus is the bread of life. He says, I am the bread of life. He says, I am the light of the world. I am the door. I am the good shepherd. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And here he exclaims that he is the true vine. True vine. Now, Jesus is not using here a new imagery because Israel knows that they were once called a vine. We read that in Psalm 80. That God in his grace planted them so that through Israel, God's grace may be transmitted to their lives and that God's name will be known. Sadly, they failed to bear fruit because of their rebellion and disobedience before God. And in Ezekiel chapter 15, verses 1 to 8, Israel is described as a useless vine. Wala nang halaga. Walang silbi. That's why here we see in verse 1, when Jesus declares that he is the true vine, in the very person, life, and work of Christ, we have the true source of life. We have the true Israel. And by adopting this imagery and applying it to himself, Jesus then now declares that one's standing in the people of God depends no longer on descent from Abraham, but on one's vital connection to himself. One commentary explained this way, to be part of the vine, one must be connected to Jesus. Whereas, the Father formerly intended ethnic Israel as his vine, he now tends those who are united to Christ by faith. Crossroads, Jesus is the true vine and we are not. It means you and I are not the true source of life, strength, joy, contentment, and satisfaction. Crisis. Si Cristo lang. Then continuing in verse 1, take a look. And my Father is the vine dresser. Jesus then now describes the role of the Father as the one who cares for the vine and the branches. We see here God's purposeful sovereignty that he oversees everything that is taking place in the very life of a Christian. Take a look at verse 2. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. See the work of the vine dresser. He takes away the branches that does not bear fruit, and he exposes them. Now, what does Jesus mean here? Who are these branches? Hear me on this. These are the branches. These are men and women who claim to be Christians because they grew up at church, they were baptized when they were small, were involved in a ministry, active in their age group fellowship, but loves the world and does not truly love Jesus. They think they are saved because of what they have done for Christ in the past, but there's zero transformation. They know the things about Jesus, but don't truly know him. Interesting, when Jesus was mentioning this imagery, Judas was not in the scene anymore. In John chapter 13, in the supper, he already commanded Judas to do the very thing that he was purposefully made for. No wonder Matthew chapter 7, verse 21 to 23 says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven." And Jesus continued, "On that day, many will say to me, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do many mighty works in your name?' And then Jesus says, 'I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness.'" Now that's a terrifying statement from Jesus. One commentary mentioned, if a man is not bearing fruit, it is because he is not abiding in Christ. If a man is not abiding in Christ, he has no grounds for confidence that he has been born again. What is the vine dresser doing here? He takes away those branches who says that they are in Christ but do not have an evidence of a regenerating work of Christ. Then continuing in verse 2, take a look. "And every branch that does not bear, and every branch that does bear fruit," what does he do? "He prunes that it may bear more fruit." These are men and women who have been regenerated by the Spirit, given faith to believe in Jesus, and decided to follow him, and is seeking for revealed truth in God's word, desiring to love Jesus, desiring to love others. This person is perpetually growing in his walk with God. Not perfectly, but has an increasing longing to make Christ known. He looks only to Christ for his life and salvation that is grounded in grace alone, by faith alone. What is the goal of the vine dresser? He prunes. Kung meron po dito mga plantito at plantita, then you understand the kind of scissors that you use. Right? And for the vine dresser to prune us, he uses his love and care to take away any kind of unrighteousness, any kind of residual effects of our sin, so that we may grow in him. That's what the Father does. John MacArthur says, "The Father prunes the true branches by removing anything that would sap their spiritual energy and hinder them from spiritual results. His pruning involves cutting away anything that limits righteousness, including the discipline that comes from trials, suffering, and persecution." Look at the person sitting beside you and ask, "Have you been pruned?" That is God's loving care to his people. That is God's loving care to his branch. So that what Israel failed to do, it can be done through us. Then in verse 3, already Jesus says, "You are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you." And this confirms that the remaining disciples, except for Jesus, were true Christians. Because they were regenerated and they were clean. And they received and believed in him. They are recipients of God's truth and grace. And they are united in Christ. And this is a picture of what our union in him looks like. It's permanent. It's eternal. Christians in this room, we are the branches. We are utterly dependent to the true vine. He is our true King and Lord. And when you are the branch rooted to the true vine, the Lord delights in us because we have the Son who has covered our shame and guilt, and his righteousness is seen within. And this is the very reason of what abiding in Christ looks like. Crossroads, the all-satisfying joy of Christ empowers every Christian to abide in Him. This very reason now alters any kind of desire that you may have today. This very reason gives you a new trajectory on how we should think, on how we should live, on how we should behave. Second, we're going to see in verses 4 to 10 the responsibility of abiding in Christ. Take a look at your Bibles. Jesus says, abide in Him. Abide in me, and I in you. Now, Jesus is continually using the imagery here of the vine, whereas vines need sunlight, pollination, water, and soil, the people of God, or the branches, need Jesus. What does the word abide mean? It means to stay, to remain, to rest, to be connected, to endure, and continue. Just think about, again, this how this imagery invites us to think of a branch staying connected to the true source of life, and how a branch would drink, would benefit from the true source of the root. Christians, since we have been united with Christ, we have the responsibility to abide in Him. And please take note, this is something that we don't do out of begrudging submission. That's why Jesus established in verses 1 to 3 the reason we may now see this as an opportunity to know Christ. To abide in Jesus, brethren, must be our passion. Now, abiding in Jesus is not just a 15 or 30 minute prayer or quiet time. It's part of it, but if you're going to compartmentalize a few minutes for Jesus, then we have missed the point. It is an awareness of our deep need for Him. Was there ever a time po na nagkasakit po kayo and you were totally dependent to the very care of your friends, your family members, the nurses? Now, without their help, we cannot even go to the restroom. See what Jesus is doing here. Abide in me, and I in you. Friends, do you see your awareness for your deep need for Him every day? In the confession a while ago of Pastor John, we were just simply exposed of how easy for us to say that we abide in Him, but for the rest of the week, the eyes of our hearts are turning to different idols. Friends, that's the reality. That's why we need Jesus. We need Him not just every day. We need Him every hour. Isn't it that the hymn goes, I need you at the very hour, this very moment? And I think one of the ways that we can see our need for Him, this verse would make sense, is this. Do you see Christ lovely? Are the descriptions of His character make you astounded? Is He glorious? Is He worthy? One Puritan, Samuel Rutherford, said, Christ is a well of life. But who knows how deep it is to the bottom? The soul of ours has love and cannot but love some fair one. And oh, what a fair one. What an only one. What an excellent, lovely, ravishing one is Jesus. John Flavel said, Christ is altogether lovely. He is the very essence of all delights and pleasures. Friends, do you see him lovely? Our beholding of Christ intensifies our abiding in him. And I believe this was the very intention of John, the beloved, when he wrote this gospel. Isn't it that in John chapter 20, verse 31, if there's a purpose statement for this book, we can find it here. But these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. The word believe here is not just an intellectual assent of knowing who Christ is. It is how it changes your mind, it changes your heart, it changes your behavior. Do you find Christ lovely? Isn't it interesting and awkward that we'll find ourselves looking at reels and we are thrilled by it? But when was the last time that you were thrilled in just simply looking at God's Word? Jonathan Edwards would say that that is an inordinate desire. No wonder Jesus is telling his disciples and even us this morning, abide in me. And here's a marvelous truth, and I in you. He abides in us. But we need a change of heart. We need a heart that is fueled by truth. And Jesus continues, look at verse 4. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in him, in me. See how Jesus persuades his disciples to abide in him. We are nothing apart from him. We do not have a purpose apart from abiding in the true vine. We do not have a clear and sound path apart from being connected to Jesus. Brothers and sisters, our responsibility to abide in Jesus is not just a command so we can survive the Christian life. This is our life. That's why if you're going to read verses 1 to 11, the resounding word here is abide. The resounding word here is abide. Because this is the very air that we breathe in. And this is the way of what it means to truly experience what eternal life looks like. Jesus is not yet done. Look at verse 5. I am the vine. You are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Jesus is a true vine. Christians, we are the branches. Now, when you read verse 5, others will really focus on the phrases or the words, bear much fruit. You see that there is a fruit when we abide in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's a blessing. That's a gift from God. But that only happens when there is a genuine connection. Keep this in mind. Bearing fruit is predicated upon the enjoyment and thrill of delighting in Jesus, which tells us we cannot manufacture this on our own. This is revealed to us in God's Word. This is given to us in God's grace. Therefore, we must ask the Holy Spirit to give us the sustaining strength to truly abide in Jesus. That's why we need to confess that there are some mornings that we don't see Christ lovely. We need to ask for an illuminating grace that when we open God's Word, we find it boring. And we need to ask the Lord to sustain our spiritual appetite to be consistent in knowing Him. Brothers and sisters, we are called to pay attention to our abiding in Christ, because when we truly abide in Him, we can't help but bear fruit. Bear more fruit and much fruit. This is the spiritual trajectory of becoming more and more like Jesus. We need to abide in Jesus because our life on earth will not make sense here without Him. Are you following? Now look at verse 6. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire and burned. Now consider verse 6 both as a warning and comfort. Warning to those who are attached in the vine but no roots connected to it. So look here. If you are in church today and you think you are a Christian but don't have a love for Jesus, you can expect destruction. No sugarcoating. You are simply using Jesus for your own consumption. This kind of branch, according to verse 6, is thrown away, withers, thrown into the fire, and burned. And this is a clear picture of a useless branch. See the severity of God's judgment to those who are faking it. And I'll be honest with you. Look here. God will expose. God will expose anyone in this room who's not really His. But that is also God's comfort. Why? Because God, as He warns the people who says that they are connected to Christ, is a comfort, because this vine welcomes those who will come. So if you're here today and you're not a Christian, I pray that you'll see your need of Him. You cannot abide in Him because you do not have any kind of strength or wit or wisdom to do this. This is done only by grace. The only way for someone to be connected to Christ is only through looking at the very cross. So look to Him. Look to Him. The only way to be saved and not to be thrown away, not to wither and not to be thrown into fire and burned, is by means of looking to Christ. May God in His grace provide you repentance and faith. And this also calls an urgency for Christians in this room. We must not play games with Jesus. Living in a comfortable life, convenient life, can somehow be detrimental to our spiritual life. The remedy at the same time is look to Him, but also to live a life that is anchored in Him. Let's not be what John Flavel says, yung parang friends lang ni Jesus pag summer. Kasi gusto mo nang, di ba, Jesus sa Pinas kapag summer yan, di ba? Halimbawa, pag nag-announce yung church, uy, may outing and church. Ayan, kahit hindi mga member sasama. Yung mga hindi naman active, biglang magiging active. Diba? Mga ganyan. Basta kasi may pagkain. Tapos whole day swimming lang. Mga ganyan. Sabi ni John Flavel, huwag tayong maging kagaya ng mga friends ni Jesus na ka-okay lang pag summer. Be His friend forever. Be His friend forever. Sabi niya in his word, when Christ is revered and admired in the culture, many attach themselves to him, at least in name. But when the fires of ridicule, rejection, or even physical harm threaten their comfortable Christianity, they abandon him like the seed sown on rocky ground. So let this serve as a warning, but at the same time, comfort and an urgent call for Christians and non-Christians. See here the responsibility of abiding in Jesus. Also, we see in verses 7 to 8, take a look, that another responsibility is that we abide in the word and prayer. Notice the progression. Look at verse 7. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. So you see here, the scriptures are sufficient to reveal everything we need to know about Jesus. And the power of God's word illumines the mind and shapes our affection and strengthens our resolve to abide in Jesus. Because here's the thing. We can't say that we are going to abide in Jesus and not to look at God's word. It's inseparable. Yun yung gusto sabihin ni Jesus in verse 7. If you choose in my grace to abide in me, then you need to look at the word regularly. Not to your experience, not to other people's experience, not what the world says about me, but what the word says. See how it is attached. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you. See that close connection. Not only that, scripture also nurtures our prayer. Ask whatever you wish. Now, what did Jesus mean when he said, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you? It's like, if you're here today, it's like, yan ang kailangan ko. Promotion sa job, ask whatever you wish. Okay? Praying for something that you've been longing for, yun, eto na. But the question is, does it mean we can pray for our own desires, longing, ambition, dreams, and pursuits? No. On the contrary, hear me on this, when our hearts are informed by the word, and since we are abiding in Christ, we seek to honor and glorify him, his eternal true words, become what we desire. We resolve to pray only what God desires, and God, in his grace, takes out any kind of ambition, any kind of dream, any kind of longing that is not from Christ. Therefore, ask whatever you wish means our self-centered heart is already changed by Jesus. Then everything you ask in his name will be done for you. See how countercultural this is. See how Jesus takes away the temporary happiness that our hearts have been longing for and gives you what true joy looks like. In light of our union with Christ, the phrase, whatever you wish, is not a blank check prayer. But let me argue, but eager participation in the life and mission of God. So please, dear Christians, let's not use this for selfish gain. It is eager participation in the very life and mission of God, first in our own life, in your local church, here at Crossroad, and even in the world. So, what would you say if someone will come to you and ask, why are you here right now in Dubai? What will you say? Why are you working here for the last few years or just recently? How would you answer that? How you answer that very question reveals how you are abiding in Jesus, how you're abiding in His Word, how we are abiding in prayer. To pray for God's will to be done is to pray for His name to be hallowed in His kingdom to come, requiring, and this is painful, to crush our idols, to tear down any strongholds and the charging of the gates of hell. To pray for God's will, we start to learn that we are strangers and aliens, not just in UAE, but in the world. And since we are not permanent here, we seek all life to make much of Christ. Abide in Jesus. Abide in His word and prayer. Because when that takes place, look at verse 8. By this, predicated on what Jesus just mentioned, my Father is glorified that you bear much fruit, so you prove to be my disciple. The words by this means if we faithfully abide in Jesus, in His word and prayer, who gets the glory? God. Divine dresser. We attribute the bearing fruit to Him. What are your prayer requests and concerns this week? Have you took the time to submit it to the Lord? Filter it by the Word and let it be marinated by Him. Friends, the need of the hour is for each one of us to truly abide in Jesus, abide in His word, and in prayer. And I hope you're seeing here how Jesus gives Himself to us when we abide in Him. Friends, that's the all-satisfying joy. But He's not yet done. Look at verses 9 to 10. Look at your Bibles. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. Now, that very verse is jam-packed with a lot of truths. Now, let me ask you, can you measure the Father's love to His Son, Jesus? We can't. It's immeasurable. Can you measure the love of Christ for you? Both are immeasurable. The love of the Father to His Son and His Son to us is vast, wide, deep, unimmeasurable love that passes knowledge and can never be fully comprehended by man. Yet Jesus shows to us the depth and the magnitude of our Lord's love to His people. It's not yet finished. He reveals how we can perpetually abide in His love. That we can cling to Him. Because keep in mind, in John chapter 14, the disciples are already troubled. There was even a time where Philip asked, show us the Father. What are we going to do if you're going to leave here? And Jesus says, abide in me, abide in my word, abide in prayer, abide in my love. Because there will be moments in the Christian life where you're going to run out. Mauubusan din po tayo. And Jesus is saying, stick, cling to this love. And look at verse 10. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in His love. Crossroads, remaining in the love of God, is not some mystical experience. Yung parang minsan may goosebumps pa. Parang naramdaman ko yung pag-ibig ng Panginoon. Naku, talagang kilabutan po kayo. Kasi kung parang laging ganun ang hinahanap nyo kaysa sa'yo mag-stay sa word ni God, naku, delikado po yung Christian life nyo. But that is just not the kind of love that the Bible is talking about and what Jesus is talking about here. That is just far beyond what our hearts can conceive. This is the perfect agape love of God to Jesus and Jesus to us. And this is the kind of love that we need to abide today. Why? Why is it important to abide in the very love of Christ? Hear me on this. There will be times in our Christian walk when we'll find ourselves not loving and abiding in Jesus. We have little appetites in spending time in His Word and prayer. What's the remedy? Abide in His love. There will be times when you feel like giving up in your pursuit of holiness and righteousness. What is the remedy? Abide in His love. There will be times in our Christian community, even at crossroads, when you will be challenged to love those who make you crazy. When you want everyone to follow what's right and biblical, but will not happen instantly. What's the remedy? Abide in His love. There will be times in the Christian ministry or in missions, church planting initiatives, when things will not go as you have planned out. You will be discouraged. You will be frustrated. You will be disappointed. What's the remedy? Abide in His love. There will be times, dear friends, that you will be persecuted because of your faith in Christ. What's the remedy? Abide in the never giving up, never stopping love of Christ. That's the remedy. That's why Jesus is saying that. Because when we not simply tap on the very love of Christ, we get to see His joy. The all-satisfying joy of Christ empowers every Christian to abide in Him. Abide in Jesus. Abide in His Word and prayer. Abide in His love. Something needs to change this morning, isn't it? Something needs to change. Lastly, in verse 11, we're going to see the root of abiding in Christ. And I believe this is where everything that Jesus is saying is attached to. Listen to the very words of our Lord Jesus Christ. These things, what we just covered, I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full. See how Jesus is summarizing everything that he just said. Disciples of Christ are creatures of the Word. We follow the very words of Christ. And our joy in Christ is closely connected to our abiding in Him. What is Jesus trying to say in verse 11? He desires to share His infinite, indestructible, invincible, all-satisfying, all-sufficient joy. Which tells us, Crossroads, He is for us. He is for every man and woman in this room who's attached to the vine. The all-satisfying joy of Christ is more thrilling, satisfying than anything or anyone this world can offer. And we are all made for this kind of joy. And it's like Jesus is saying, take it. Take it. This is yours. This is yours. John Piper once said, our joy in Christ becomes the essence and root, not just the fruit of all Christ's honoring and Christ's exalting obedience. And he continues, When we walk in disobedience, our joy is going to be limited, even canceled. But our greatest enjoyment of Christ can be enjoyed only in a robust state of obedience. Oh, see what is at stake. See what is just before every Christian in this room today because of Christ. Christ is offering his joy. And there are times, I understand, there are times that the residual effects of our sin would say, it's hard to give up this one. It's hard to choose. It's hard in that. Friends, you haven't seen how beautiful Christ is. That's why your heart is troubled. That's why your heart is still staying on sin. That's why your heart is still finding identity on what this world can offer. That my joy may abide in you. This is not a temporary joy. There is a kind of joy that never fails or passes away. That your joy may be full. Look here. Jesus understands that our hearts are not full with him. That's why he's offering himself to us. What a comfort. What a joy. Because this joy is the remedy that we all need. This is solid. But please keep this in mind. This joy does not entirely free you from sadness. But the very ground for joy will be far greater. According to one theologian, he says, so that no dread, no anxiety, no grief will swallow them up. For those to whom it has been given to glory in Christ will not be prevented either by life or by death or by any distress from bidding defiance to sadness. Crossroads, it is the desire of our Savior to give his joy to us so that our joy may be full in him. Now, where do you see the joy of Christ? It is seen in his very work and life. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2 reminds us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for what? For the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Brothers and sisters, see the all-satisfying joy of Christ that has led him to our redemption. See the all-satisfying joy of Christ that has made us sons and daughters in glory. See the all-satisfying joy of Christ that is at work in making us more and more like him. See the satisfying joy of Christ that is enabling us to work out our salvation. See the all-satisfying joy of Christ that is available to be shared and to be experienced to those who come and see. And see the all-satisfying joy of Christ as the nations be glad in him. The all-satisfying joy of Christ empowers the very life of the Christian now and today. Friends, our whole only hope is Christ. The very God-man who became our substitute on the cross, who took the shame, who took the penalty and punishment that we deserve, and in his grace, redeems us, not just redeems us and forgives of our sin, but adopts us and considers us as his own and gives us his joy. Crossroads, as the body of Christ in UAE, I encourage you all to apply the truths of John 15 as a community of saints who need Christ every day. A community that commends the perfection of Christ, his beauty, grace, and joy, and a community whose purpose is marked in making others glad in Him. And when Christ comes, we will forever abide in Him. Sin will be no more. Suffering will be no more. All the pains that this world can attribute to us will not hinder us, because Christ will be completely with us. There will be no more hindrances to this beautiful design that the Lord has ordained for His glory and our joy. Meanwhile, let the all-satisfying joy of Christ empower each one of us today to abide in Him. We have the reason, we have the responsibility, we have the root that His word has given to each one of us. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your word. We thank You for Christ. We thank You for how He is completing our joy and how He will continue to complete it until He comes. God, help each one of us to turn our inordinate desires to You, to submit it and be pruned by You. Lord, Your desire for each one, every believer in this room, is for us to bear fruit. May our hearts be drawn to abiding in You. Use the community here to commend Christ to each other. And help us, because there are more men and women whom You have prepared to know You who need to hear this all-satisfying joy of the gospel. Help us. We need You more than ever before. And we ask that You'll sustain us and hold us fast till the end. Christ, I pray. Amen.